Now, I'm joined once again today by Mike Davis, chairman of Radley Town Museum, who recently kindly told us all about the museum and why he was especially keen to promote the town of Radley, which was, of course, the site of the only castle in Essex dating back to the time of the Domesday Book. But Mike made mention of so many interesting topics that we just had to get him back in. Indeed, he's provided me with a list of truly amazing items. So I've picked just one of those today, which I can already see may well lead on to a second subject for another occasion. But let's start with the market, which is held every Wednesday in the High Street. So please tell me, Mike, what makes this of special interest?
Good afternoon, Scott. Thanks very much indeed for inviting me back to talk to you today about Radley Market. Today, the weekly Radley Wednesday Market contains up to 30 different stallholders, together with the occasional charity or public information stall from the District Council, Essex Police and other local voluntary services. Indeed, the history of our market can be traced back to the year 1181, when King Henry II was on the throne. Indeed, such markets were held by virtue of a royal grant, usually embodied by a royal charter, or by a previously long-held right based on ancient custom, as was probably the case with ours.
And indeed, it probably was there before 1181, for all we know.
Indeed.
Now, I'm guessing that markets back then would bear a little resemblance to what we see today.
Scott, you're absolutely right. In days gone by, it would have been very much what I would describe as a farmer's style market, where local livestock was bought in and the local people and visitors from surrounding villages would have gathered together to enjoy the hustle and bustle of market life in Rayleigh's ancient Saxon High Street. Tinkers, travellers and traders would sell all sorts of produce. Indeed, it was not uncommon for such a trader to walk over 6 miles to attend the market, with, of course, a 6-mile walk home later. Taverns would also do a roaring trade. It is stated that on the 18th of February in the year 1227, King Henry III granted Hubert de Burgh, the Earl of Kent, unspecified markets at 3 manors to include Rayleigh. This was reconfirmed on the 28th of November in the year 1228. Originally, Rayleigh held the only market within a 20-mile radius until in 1247, when Sir Guy de Rochford obtained permission from King Henry III to hold the market in Rochford with regular cattle and livestock sales. In April 1248 and again in January 1249, the Countess of Kent alleged that her market in Rayleigh was being affected by the market then held in Prittlewell.
Oh dear, poor woman. Now, as we mentioned earlier, the market today consists of around 30-odd stalls, but I seem to recall that even 30 or 40 years ago, the market would have been thronged with stalls and visitors.
Indeed, Scott. I'm sure that most of your listeners recall attending markets in their own hometown many years ago. My own first recollection, indeed, was from the 1950s, with what in Romford, when I visited Romford Market, with all sorts of stalls for food, clothing, and I'm sure I recollect animals as well. I'm also told that Rayleigh Market also had a small animal market within the High Street dating to the 1950s. But my research from speaking with locals and my own investigations has not yet confirmed this. Perhaps your listeners can help.
Well, I hope so. Now, the market has had a few dramas over the years, has it not?
One or two dramas, including some even to this day. But with all the hustle and bustle, with a throng of people, pickpockets were a common problem. In 1884, an accidental fire caused wide-scale damage to some of the old wooden buildings in the High Street. And again in 1900, to celebrate the relief of Mafeking, a fire got seriously out of control when enthusiastic locals added barrels of tar to the already quite strong blaze, and this helped fuel the fire as the molten tar ran down the High Street. We can just imagine the chaos that caused. Similar fires took place in the High Street indeed to commemorate and celebrate the end of both World War I and World War II.
Oh, crikey. Coming up to date between the two wars, World War One and World War Two, the market was, I believe, moved to Hockley Road car park. And then the licence for the market was changed from Rochford District Council to Raleigh Town Council. And the market got restored to the High Street. Is that right?
Indeed. Yes, indeed. This car park is now named the Old Market Car Park. Old traditional style markets had become less popular with the change of lifestyles and the availability of social media. When I was young, Amazon was just a faraway river. The site of the market was used as a town centre car park for the rest of the week, but was closed on a Wednesday to accommodate the market. It became clear to Rochford District Council that the income they received from the market was insufficient, and greater income could be received by closing the market and allowing cars to park there all week, paying the car parking charges. However, the ever-vigilant Raleigh Town Council did not want to lose one of the town's great historical traditions and sought to keep the market alive. One concern from visitors and traders alike was that the then site at the far end of the High Street, close by our parish church, Holy Trinity, was not easily accessible to some, but would be far more popular by moving back to its original location in the centre of the High Street. After months of negotiation and the cooperation with various organisations, it was agreed to use the taxi rank and wide pavements for the stallholders whilst retaining free-flowing transport along the High Street. That suits everyone, with easy availability of taxis, buses, car parks, and with the railway station only a short walk, bus ride away.
Now, of course, as you mentioned there, they were worried about getting more money from the car park, but you really need both, don't you? You've got to have somewhere to park to go to the market. So anyway, what sort of future do you foresee for the market now? After it would be a catastrophe for the market to disappear after, what, almost 850 years?
Scott, I agree with you, but even with my crystal ball, it is difficult to imagine the continued pace and change of life in, say, 50 years' time. I certainly hope that the history of Raleigh Market, dating back over 850 years, as you say, will still be with us. But perhaps within a pedestrianised High Street, with pavement cafes fully occupied and the busy retail outlets no doubt selling state-of-the-art technology that has not even been invented yet. Drone human transport will be the norm. Great. And of course, the most important building in the Raleigh Town Centre Conservation Area, the wonderful and oldest secular building in Raleigh, dating back to the year 1350, the Raleigh Town Museum.
Oh, a good plug there.
Open all year with no admission charge on a Wednesday, Friday and a Saturday between 10 a.m. and 4 p.m. Indeed, why not visit Raleigh on Sunday the 11th of June when we celebrate another age-old tradition, the Trinity Fair, which dates back to the year 1227. Indeed, some updated news for you, Scott. Only a week ago, after spending 4 years in discussion and friendly negotiation with the National Trust and the South End Museum Service, we have acquired over 50 pieces of 1,000-year-old timbers from Raleigh Castle. As you mentioned, the only castle in the County of Essex mentioned in the Domesday Survey of 1086. However, in 50 years' time, the museum may be open 7 days a week, 24 hours a day, virtual tours with interactive holograms and our own museum radio station. Or am I dreaming?
Well, maybe it'll be a hologram of you doing all of this, you know.
Who knows?
Could be good. But what else have you got coming up? I think you've got one or two things happening in March, haven't you?
Yes, indeed. Well, we've always having a variety of exhibitions in the museum to ensure that our visitors return on a regular basis. As I've said, we've got the Timbers exhibition on the moment, which is a permanent exhibition. Mm-hmm. In April, we're having an exhibition on historic Essex maps.
Wow, that could be interesting.
We're going to have on display lots of atlases, lots of maps, lots of globes, to showcase in not only the history of Raleigh, but indeed the whole of the world. We've got a quiz coming up, but I'm afraid to tell you the quiz is already fully booked. We've got so much interest. We've got the Trinity Fair, and we've got other events especially for the schools during the holidays and things like that. So there's always something new, exciting and different to see in the museum. And we're already always getting more and new artefacts on the history of our lovely town. So please come and pay us a visit.
Thank you very much indeed, Mike. And I know we're going to get you back very soon. And we're going to be talking, I think, next about the Speedway. I'm looking forward to that. So we'll get you in two or three weeks' time.
Absolutely. The Rayleigh Rocket Speedway team, fondly remembered by many, many people from near and far. 1948 to 1973, the atmosphere, the sound, the smells of the engines, the Speedway, absolutely wonderful. So I look forward to that, Scott. Thank you.